The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning. My name is Austin McCallum. I am the student ministry pastor here at Summit. If we haven't met, it's nice to meet you. If we have met, it's good to see you again. I think the last time I taught, I said I usually start with the same opening every single time. And I said only one word changes. It's either I'm excited to be here with you, it's a joy to be here with you, or it's an honor to be here with you. But Jody opened up with I'm excited to have this joy. And he basically said all of them. Stole all the thunder. Well done. Well done. It is a blessing to be here with you all this morning. Yeah, it truly is. It's a blessing to be here with you all. It's really cool that I get to teach a part of the Advent series. Really cool for me. I'm not saying it has to be really cool for you, but I hope that it is. I'm excited. I really love Christmas, or at least I love the Christmas season. And I have a weird family background, so not all Christmases bring good memories, but the reason for this season is indeed good every year. And so, it really is a blessing. It's cool to be a part of this. And I'm glad that I get to teach the third part of this. It's been a challenging message to prepare, but I think that it's going to be a sweet thing for us to talk about. And so if you've been with us throughout December for the lighting of these candles, or at least over the last couple weeks for the two messages that we've done so far in Advent, then you know that we're walking through a series titled All Things New. Kyle Estep kicked off this series, and he was trying to get us into this place where we're able to look back, where we're able to have joy for and celebrate the fact that there was a first Advent. There was the first coming of Jesus. There was the first Christmas, and there's reason to be joyous about that. But then he also was walking us into that from that time and in the time between, we are living in great anticipation for the second Advent. We are waiting for the day when Jesus comes back and he is going to make all things new. And then in the second week or last week, Jody taught. Before he taught, we had this like really awesome kids. What was it called? I didn't grow up in the church or in a choir, so I'm not familiar with that word. But a kid's cantata, okay. There was like a concert going on, and they crushed. It was incredible. I wanted to make sure that we celebrate that. It was a really sweet time. But then Jody was teaching, and what he was teaching about is with Kyle is setting us up to anticipate the second Advent, to anticipate the time when Jesus is going to come back and when he is going to heal all the brokenness that is in this world and make all things new. Jody was talking about what are the things that are not going to be there anymore. And the things are sin, death, darkness. There will be no more. No more sin, no more death. No more darkness. We won't have to worry about those things. No more fear because of those things. No more anxiety because of those things. And the place that all of this has been coming from, or the text that we've been using as an anchor for our series, is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, I'm also going to start there and then move to a different place, but we'll stay attached to this text. And while you are going there, I'll pray and then we'll read. Father, you are so good. And you are love, the perfect embodiment of love. And Lord, I ask that as your people, us today here gathered together to worship you, to praise you, to sit under your teaching, would you make that love apparent? Would you open up our hearts and our ears to hear and receive your truth from your text? And would we leave this place more convinced of your love? more convinced of your goodness. And may that affect the way that we act after we leave this place. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. All right. Hopefully you were able to find Revelation 21. Like I said, we're going to be starting in verse 1. We're going to go through verse 5. If you want, you can read along with me. If you would like, you can just sit there and I will read it over you. But Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also, he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" So like I said, Kyle and Jody have taught in this series already. Hold on, let me start my timer so I don't go all the way into lunch. That's for your sake, not for mine. Kyle and Jody have already taught in this series. Kyle's message was really based out of the fifth verse of this portion of Scripture. "And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Kyle was saying that it is for certain that we have this thing that we get to look forward to. There's something that we're looking forward to that's surely going to happen. We can wait on it with great anticipation, eagerly awaiting it, not anxiously awaiting it. It is going to happen this day when Jesus comes back and he is reigning over all things perfectly. There is no more brokenness in the world. And that takes us into what Jody was talking about, which is based out of verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Jesus has already defeated sin, already defeated death, already defeated darkness. When he comes back, it will be the destruction of those things. Those things have passed away. They are gone forever. They are no more. There will be no more of any of the things that he has listed when Jesus comes back. And so today, we are actually going to be working out of verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" We're going to be working from this idea of what it means for God to dwell with us, or what it means for us to dwell with him, what it means for us to be his people and for him to be our God. So from verse 3, this word that John uses as he's describing this vision that he's seeing, that he's heard shouted out from the throne, the word "dwelling" is the same word that's been used across the Bible for the tabernacle. And so if you're familiar with your Bible, then you know that there was this guy, pretty big deal, his name's Moses. And Moses was really close with God. Moses met with God in a tent of meeting, and then it became this more established place called the tabernacle, which included the tent of meeting. And it was this same word, but in the Hebrew, but this one's in the Greek, but this same word that they were using to describe the tent of meeting, the place that was in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God's presence was resting on, and his people would go in to meet with him. This is the same word that's been used all across Scripture to describe where God and his people were together, where God's people got to experience his presence. And in verse 3, John is saying that all of God's people, because back then it was either Moses or it was a priest, but here he's saying all of God's people, God will tabernacle with them and they will get to be with him. All of them together, and they will be his people, and God will be their God. And so he has this vision of looking into heaven, and this is what he sees. And if you would, flip to, or just depending on, I guess, like the text size of your Bible, go to the beginning of chapter 22 of Revelation. So just the next chapter. And John is still describing this same vision, this vision of what new creation is like, what new heaven and new earth is like. And he's going to talk a little bit more, flesh out a little bit more, what this is going to be like when God is dwelling with his people. Also, verse 1 through 5, so really, really easy to remember. Chapter 22, it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb of God will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." So in Revelation, or the revelation that John is having, this angel is talking to him and showing him what new creation is going to be like. The first thing that we're zeroing in on is from verse 3 of chapter 21, where he's saying that God is going to dwell with his people. And then as we move to chapter 22, this landscape that John is laying out with his words, inviting us to imagine, this angel is showing him that there's this river of life water. I immediately thought of like life water in the bottle. There is this river of the water of life that is bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the throne of Jesus. So if you're imagining something similar to that, didn't have to imagine. Wasn't that so nice? Thanks, Carissa. From the throne of God flows the water of life. And then there's this street. And I don't want you to get too caught up in this. Imagine it how you're going to imagine it. And there's a tree that's on both sides of it. I don't know how that works. Big tree, root system bridging over the street somehow. Or some people think rows of trees of life. Either one that works for your imagination. But this is a landscape that John is describing to us, this beautiful thing where he says that there is nothing that is cursed there. And then the trade-off that he gets to is instead of having things that are cursed, there's nothing, no longer anything will be there that is a curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. The trade-off is we get to have God instead of all of the things that are cursed. And there, God on the throne, deserving of all the worship, is getting all the worship that he deserves. All of his servants that are there are worshiping him as he sits on the throne. And then he gets to this, and this is kind of where we're going to sit for the rest of today. "And his servants will worship him. They will see his face." All of the people of God, as God is dwelling with them, as he is tabernacling with them, as his presence is made fully known to them, they will see his face. I don't know if you've ever seen like the videos where like they blindfold kids and then they walk in and they like touch everybody's face and they're trying to figure out which one of their parents, and they tend to be really good at it. Maybe. Anybody? Never seen that video? You should look it up. It's really sweet. Bring you to tears. And next time I bring it up, this analogy will be flawless. There's something about knowing someone by their face. There's something about seeing someone's face. I thought about what it would be like if pastors were like those DJs that wear giant things on their heads. And then what would you think whenever people were talking? And then I looked into it and I couldn't find one on that quick of notice. But what would it be like if you couldn't see my face, if you couldn't see the things that I was emoting to you through my face or the passion that I was feeling because of the way that I was talking? What would it be like if you couldn't see my face? Well, maybe you would feel like you didn't know me that well, if you had never seen me face to face. And with this phrase, not every translation is going to bookmark all of them, but this phrase has actually been used a few times, and maybe if you're an avid Bible reader, you were thinking of a couple of times that this phrase has been used or this thought of seeing God's face has happened. And one of them is with Moses, like we were just talking about. When it comes to the tent of meeting, Moses knows God on this very intimate level, and Moses asks God, "Can I see your glory?" Which is a wild thing to ask. Can I see your glory? And God says, if you were to see my face, you would die. And I'm not like smart enough to know exactly what people would say is the cause of death there. But Moses is just not ready to see God's face. He's not ready to see the fullness of God's glory. But here, in new creation, God says, all of you, all of my people will be able to see my face. They will be able to know the fullness of my presence that Moses couldn't know. And when Paul was talking about it, he says, for now, when it comes to love, we know in part, but then we will know in full. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. From the same chapter that Tracy and Kip were reading, the love chapter. Then, when you see God face to face in new creation, you will experience the fullness of his love as you see his face illuminated by his glory. And you will understand the intimacy that you have with him. It will be an intimate and full experience of his presence. That's what John is laying out for us. That's the thing that we get to anticipate and look forward to, is that one day we will get to gaze upon the face of God and know him fully. But to Carissa's point, and it was really good, that she was praying, is that we already get to experience God's presence. Not exactly this way, but in a very beautiful way. We already have access to God's presence. It's something that we actually can practice. We can practice the way of experiencing God's presence. And so that's what we're going to be talking about for the rest of our time, is an application piece. And if you've heard me teach here before, I've actually said multiple times that I'm really weak in application. So we're going to talk about it for a long time, and hopefully you'll get one good thing out of it. But we're going to talk about, what does it mean to practice God's presence? What does it mean that one day we will know the fullness of his presence, the fullness of his glory? We will know him as intimately as possible. We will know him and understand him perfectly as he knows and understands us perfectly. What do we do in the meantime? And to get to that point, what do we do in the meantime? I want to tell you a little story, or maybe it's more of an analogy, about me and my wife. My wife's name is Sarah, and she's over there. I won't look at her for the sake of embarrassing her. And in like 3 weeks will be our 7-year dataversary. It took me a little while to get the ring on the finger, so we've only been married for over 2 years, but 7 years of dating on January 15th in 2025. And that makes me feel old. But when we first started dating, what would happen is I would go pick her up, and I had this beater car, so I was starting off on a negative. I would go pick her up in this car that had no AC and the windows didn't roll down, that didn't have speakers. Actually, all the speakers were blown out. I bought it from an older lady. I think she had hearing problems, turned it up all the way, blew them all out. So it was always hot. But so I would pick her up and I would feel all of this pressure, especially because we couldn't listen to music. I would feel all of this pressure of I need to make really good conversation. How will she know that I'm interested in her? How will she know that I'm like really digging on her? How will she know that I'm not lame and I'm not boring? How will she know if I don't create all of this really good conversation, if I don't fill all of the dead space that's in this car? And right now there's a lot of dead space and hot air. How will she know? That's what I was thinking whenever we first started dating. But yesterday, jump forward, almost 7 years. Yesterday, we went to Atlanta and back in the same day. Went all the way there because I'm a Georgia Tech fan. She's a Duke fan. Watched her team beat my team by 30. It was awesome. I love it when my wife wins. And we drove there, and it was fun, and like we listened to music, I listened to a podcast, we talked on the way there. On the way back, she just slept, because that's what happens when you're married. Or at least in my marriage, I drive, she sleeps, she rests. I'm like, should I pull over so I don't wreck the car? But I was driving, she was sleeping, and I have this picture of her sleeping. I'm just kidding. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? I don't, but I did think about it. I don't. But she was there. She was sleeping, looking beautiful. And I was just sitting there, and there was no conversation going on. The radio was playing of, like, SMU getting absolutely punished by Penn State, but I was barely listening to it. And as I look over at my wife, and I'm just sitting there thinking, like, we don't have to have any of those things anymore. It's just her being there and me being here and us being together that brings me great joy and is letting me know, her presence is letting me know that she loves me, and my presence is letting her know that I love her. And things have changed since 7 years ago. It doesn't have to be this thing where we're manufacturing it. Instead, we're just enjoying one another's presence. And I tell you that story because this is the same type of thing that we get to have with God right now, that we can practice with God right now. As we anticipate the day where we get to enjoy this fully and perfectly, we can still practice enjoying his presence right now at any time. I heard one pastor say this quote, that God doesn't always make his power available to you, meaning that he's not always going to answer the prayer in the way that you want or heal the person that you might be praying over, but he always makes his presence available to you. At any time, you can just rest in God's presence. And what does it look like to rest in God's presence? Well, I was encouraged by one of the elders of Summit because I called him about this talk, because like I said, I was struggling with it, and I was encouraged to just share with you what I do, and then to let you think about what you might want to do. And so what I do when it comes to just experiencing God's presence, what I do when I'm trying to have that same thing that I have with my wife, but with God. So it's not about, it's not me praying, it's not me asking, although those are great things. It's not me saying, God, what are my next steps? Where am I going to be in 5 years? Although those are good things. It's not me saying, God, I want your wisdom. I want to experience more of your gifts. Although that's a good thing, it's just me sitting with God, enjoying his presence. Because one day, to go back to the love chapter, when prophecy passes away, one day when faith is no longer needed, one day when hope is no more, the thing that will remain is love, love between God and his people, where they will just enjoy his presence. And so what does it look like for me as I do that now? Well, I'll tell you, the thing that I do is normally, actually, I will say I'm not like a big nature person, grew up in the city. It works better for me in nature, I think, because his creation is so beautiful that it's easy to believe that he's there. But it works at home as well, because he is indeed always present. But what I do is I sit down and I imagine, whether with my eyes open if something is beautiful, eyes closed if I need to remove distractions, I'm quieting my heart. I sit down and I imagine that me and Jesus, in my mind he's a brown guy because in reality he's a brown guy, that me and Jesus are sitting by this fountain that holds a dear memory for me. And we can talk about that another time if you would like to. But we're sitting on the edge of this fountain. I can hear the water that's flowing behind us. And we're just sitting there. And we're looking out, people watching, because that's something I enjoy to do. And I would imagine he who can see everything has to enjoy it. And we're just sitting there like old friends, because he's known me since before I was. I've known him for a little while now. And we're just hanging. We're not really saying anything. I'm not asking him for anything. His presence, my presence, we're just together. Because he's there, I know that he loves me. Because he's invited me to show up, I know that he loves me. And when I start to lose focus, because I'll be honest with you, it's really easy to, I usually just go to one phrase and I just say, thank you. I turn to him, thank you. And it's like an all-encompassing thank you. Thank you for all the good things that are in my life. Thank you for this moment right now. Thanks for being present when I don't believe that you are. Thank you. So that's what I do. And I want to invite you into, whether you have or not, I want to invite you into or encourage you into trying to find time to just experience God's presence. And like I said, I want to come back to it because I think it's worth saying again. There are so many different ways to experience his love. So many. You can read scripture. You can pray. You might feel like he's, like, through his spirit giving you some word of prophecy. You can go and serve other people in a multitude of ways. You can be planning for how you're going to spend time with God. And I think that will allow you to experience his love. So many different things, and all of them are good. But I think that there is something about just setting out time where it's, God, I'm not asking anything of you. I don't want anything from you. I just am going to enjoy being with you. Because one day, that's what we'll do. We'll just be with each other. I will know you. I'll know that you know me. I will see you face to face. I will understand you. You will be my God, and I will be yours. Yeah. So, sorry, I don't want to cry. Let us, as Summit people, in the midst of a season that's based off of everything that Jody was reading, the truth that is God's word, that is history, the fact that Jesus came as a baby, that they were going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. Let us eagerly await with great anticipation the day when we will experience the fullness of his presence and see him face to face. But let us right now, not literally right now, let us in this current season choose to set apart time where we will remove distractions, and I don't just mean unhealthy distractions, but even the things that we are just listing out that are good things, but just removing them for a moment, forgetting about everything else except for God, giving him the fullness of our thoughts. And what would it look like? Who would we be if we were consistently and continuously just trying to experience or just trying to enjoy his presence? Who would we be if through that practice more and more, day by day, for the rest of our lives, we were growing in attentiveness to his presence, and then in the rest of our lives, we weren't going through wondering, are you here? We weren't going through saying, well, I need this feeling, or I need these like spirit bumps to know that you're here. I know you're present. We've been walking in it. We've been practicing this together. I'm going to enjoy you in this moment. And that's all I got. crushed on time, guys. So let's pray toward that. Let's pray that we would become more and more aware of the presence of God in all of the facets of our life as we practice enjoying Him. Father, you sent your Son from the throne to take on human flesh, to be born in an unassuming passage of babiness. And Jesus, you lived the life that we couldn't. You took on the wrath that we deserved. You died for us so that we might live. And you gave us your Spirit so that we would not be alone. Lord, would we believe that you love us and that you're ever present? Might we learn to enjoy you? Might our thoughts be consumed by you so that we would become more and more aware of your presence? That there is nothing more in this world that we want than you. Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.